This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم صلاة وتسليما يلقاني بمقام أمير الأنبياء وإمام المرسلين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدا رسول الله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين صل اللهم وسلم وبارك على هذا النبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحابته الغر الميامين أما بعد جماعة المسلمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله I saw you last year and alhamdulillah I'm still with you this year alhamdulillah all praise and thanks due solely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yes it's still 1440 that is our year the year of the hijrah on which we truly base our lives as Muslimin, taking from the date of the hijrah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad salawatu rabbi wassalamu alayhi, but living in a non-Muslim country governed by the Gregorian calendar, we also take cognizance of the opportunities that a new year offer us in terms of turning over a new leaf. We ended off last year and we make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward my beloved friend, Sheikh Nabil Majid, for his beautiful khutbah that he gave last week. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him and grant him long life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and use him for the benefit of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So last year when we were together, we were speaking about guidance and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a simple sunnah, a simple order in terms of those who want to be guided and those who don't want to be guided. And quite simply, it is the choice that we make. Life is about choices. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ Whoever wants to believe will believe, and whoever wants to disbelieve will disbelieve. And it was all summed up in that one verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدًى وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ As for those who follow righteous guidance, that was the advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to our father and our mother, Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam, when he took them out of the garden. What did he say to them? فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَدُلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى And if there comes to you from me a guidance, whoever follows that guidance, and what did we say about ittaba'a? Coming from the word attuba'u. There's something I wanted to make mention with regards to that word. Attuba'u. Shadda on the ta, shadda on the ba. And then with the ayn at the end, you also find this merging of the two letters into each other. So there's this talasuk. There's this sticking. There's this mutabaqa, mulazama. There's this following, if you like. Like when you have tamati pochi, walkaways, what happens afterwards? Die lippe stik vas aan mekaar. So, like I mentioned in the last khutbah, that the meaning of a word in the Arabic language is very much associated with the way that the word sounds. At-tubba'u, what does that mean? Al-dhil. It is a shadow. So literally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضُلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى What does a shadow do? A shadow moves exactly the way that you move. Your shadow follows you wherever you go, does whatever you do. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to surrender to him, جَلَّ فِي عُلَى سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا We hear and we obey. That is the ittiba' that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires from us. And that's pure surrender. Acknowledging that Allah knows better. So if we do that, and we follow... righteous guidance, zadahum huda, Allah will give them more guidance. Meaning Allah will keep them on the path. Those who want to walk the path, and that's something we have to renew every day. Zadahum huda, Allah will guide them, meaning Allah will keep them, Allah will carry them. As he says in Surah Al-Baqarah in the beginning, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. Those who want to be on that path, the muttaqoon, those who are mindful of Allah, those who want to please Allah, Allah will carry them on the path. He will keep them on the path. وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ. And He will give them the necessary taqwa, meaning that shield, that wiqaya, from where we get the word taqwa, shield to shield ourselves from ever leaving that path. That is how simple it is for those who want to be guided. And likewise for those who don't want to be guided. If you don't want to be on the path, if you don't want to follow righteous guidance, then nothing and no one can make you follow it. Like Thamud. وَأَمَّا ثَمُودُ فَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ. And as for the people of Thamud, we showed them the path. We showed them the way. فَاسْتَحَبُّ الْعَمَى عَلَى الْهُدَى. But they chose blindness over following righteous guidance. And what happened to them? Allah destroyed them. So, a new year, new opportunities. Surrounded with so many trials and tribulations in these dark and difficult times that we are living in. Dark and difficult times in a dark and difficult place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only give Jannah but grant Shahada to the elderly couple. Both 82 years of age, murdered in their own home. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So, Jamaat al-Muslimin, we need to start rethinking the way that we are living our lives. And the topic that I've chosen to speak about today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, will hopefully take us, and I speak to myself first, will take us to the source of our misguidance. I mean, what were we speaking about last week for 5 weeks? We based it on the fact that somebody had employed the services of somebody else and then they didn't pay them. Why? لا تخدعن لمخلوق على طمع فإن ذلك نقص منك في الدين لن يقدر العبد أن يؤتيك خردلة إلا بإذن الذي سواك من طين فلا تصاحب غنيا تستعز به وكن عفيفا وعظم حرمة الدين واسترزق الله مما في خزائنه فإن رزقك بين الكاف والنون واستغني بالله عن دنيا الملوك كما استغنى الملوك بدنياهم عن الدين. I wish that we all understood the Arabic language, because subhanallah, my English translation of this poem doesn't do justice. But I will attempt anyway. The poet says, he says, don't cheat somebody out of greed. That's normally the motivation for cheating somebody. You told them that you bought a genuine part, meanwhile you put in a stick majat, Shusala said. You put in maybe a used part. You told them you used a genuine, good quality product, but at the end of the day, you actually used the cheapest product. Now, why does somebody do that? Out of greed. Because they know that if they're going to buy the expensive product, if they're going to buy the genuine part, then their profit margin is going to be so much smaller. So the poet says, don't cheat somebody out of greed. Because that'll be a great deficiency in the way that you are practicing your religion. لن يقدر العبد أو يقدر منسوب وعلامة نصبه الفتحة ظاهرة على آخره. For those who are studying Arabic, لن يقدر العبد أن يؤتيك خردلة. Never ever will anybody be able to give you a mustard seed in this world except by the permission of the one who created you from clay. فلا تصاحب غنيا. So don't attach yourself to a wealthy person thinking that they are going to make you wealthy. وكن عفيفا. But instead be upright. Be righteous. Follow righteous guidance. وعظم حرمة الدين. And make great the sanctity of your religion. واسترزق الله. And seek your rizq from Allah. Don't take any shortcuts. This all has to do with aqidah. This all has to do with belief. How we believe in Allah. If our belief was correct, we wouldn't even consider cheating somebody in order to attain more of this material world, which, in the words of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لو كانت الدنيا تعدل عند الله جناح بعوضة ما سقى كافرا منها شربة ماء وفي رواية جرحة ماء. And if this world and everything in it was worth more to Allah than the wing of a mosquito, Allah wouldn't have given the disbelievers one drop of water. So what are we going to all the hassle for? To cheat somebody to attain something which is absolutely worthless, which is not even going to follow us to our graves. وَاسْتَرْزِقِ اللَّهُ Back to the words of the poet. Seek your rizq from Allah. وَاسْتَرْزِقِ اللَّهَ مِمَّا فِي خَزَائِنِهِ From his treasury. مَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَعِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقْ That which is with you will perish. That which is with Allah is eternal. Will never perish. So seek your sustenance from Allah, from his treasury. For indeed your rizq lies between the kaf and the noon. What lies in between those two letters? إنما قولنا لشيء إذا أردناه أن نقول له كن فيكون فيكون. Indeed our word to something, if we want it to happen, is to say to it be and it is. Aqeedah, believing that Allah, he's our one and only sustainer. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ But we have not given Allah due measure. We have not appraised Allah a due appraisal of who he actually is. That's why we need to go back to the origin. We need to go back to the source. We need to correct our aqeedah. We need to correct our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then by default, we'll follow righteous guidance, bi idhnillahi ta'ala. وَاسْتَرْزِقِ اللَّهَ مِمَّا فِي خَزَائِنِهِ فَإِنَّ رِزْقَكَ بَيْنَ الْكَافِ وَالنُّونِ وَاسْتَغْنِي بِلَا عَنْ دُنْيَا الْمَلُوكِ And then he says, and be free, free yourselves. وَاسْتَغْنِي بِاللَّهِ By relying solely on Allah and being independent of the owners of this world. Just like the owners of this world think that they are independent of Allah and solely dependent on their material wealth. Let's not be like them. I've chosen two verses, two out of three, because there is a phrase that Allah uses in the Quran three times. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats himself, it is for emphasis. It's something that we must take note of. The phrase is, وَمَا قَدْرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ وَمَا قَدْرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ And they did not give Allah due measure. They did not measure Allah. We're not speaking physically, of course. They did not appraise Allah with due appraisal. They did not give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his due as creator, cherisher, nourisher, sustainer, manager, controller, owner, ruler, guider, protector, helper, forgiver of everything in the heavens and on earth, Jalla fi'ula. This is Tawheed. La ilaha illahu. There is none worthy of worship besides him. That is the foundation. But we have to apply, take all the 99 names and apply it to that Tawheed. And then we'll have a better understanding of how we should believe. I've chosen two of these verses. One deals with the macrocosm and the other one with the microcosm. Which is important because in those two things lies the signs of Allah. The Quran is not a book of science. It is a book of signs. The study of those signs gives us the science. That's another topic for another time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ This is in Surah Fussilat. Verse number 53. سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ We shall show them our signs on the horizons. Horizons. Plural. فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ And within themselves. So آفَاق, The horizons out there, not just the horizon that you can see at sea level, 11 kilometers from the point of observation, because now the curvature of the earth blinds you from what is beyond. We're speaking about the horizons that go even further. The horizon of the solar system and the Milky Way and the group of galaxies and the cluster and the supercluster and the observable universe. Likewise, وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, and within themselves, going into the microcosm, going right down to the molecular level, to the atomic level, to the subatomic level. We shall show them our signs on the horizons and within themselves until it becomes clear to them that it is the truth. This Quran, a true revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِ بِرَبِّكَ أَنَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. Does it not suffice you? Isn't it enough for you that your Lord is an observer of everything? Now, what does observation have to do with the existence of things? Any of those of you out there who like physics, atomic physics, quantum physics, go and look up the double split experiment. It will blow your mind. How that shooting electrons through two splits in a screen gives an interference pattern on the wall. But only when it is observed as if you were shooting marbles through the two splits, gives you two lines on the back of the wall. But I don't want to, you know. I know it's the beginning of the year. People are still in holiday mode. So, los nodi science, alphabeti, no. But go look it up. If you're interested, the double split experiment. It brings into question, what is matter? And that we only truly exist because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is observing us. Jalla fi'ula. So, I've taken the two verses with regards to giving Allah due measure. Based on this verse, one dealing with the macrocosm and the other one with the microcosm. The first one that we will deal with is from Surah Al-Hajj. Let's start here. The microcosm. The microscopic world. And I'm not going as far as the atoms and the nucleons, but I'm going to go as far as what the fly eats. The fly's food. What happens to the fly's food? Let's see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Surah Al-Hajj, verse number 73. Ya ayyuhan nas, duriba mathalun fastami'u lah. O mankind, everybody must listen up. Mu'min wa kafir, believer and disbeliever. O mankind, duriba mathal, an example has been made. Walillahi al-mathalu al-a'la, and for Allah is the best of examples. فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ, so listen up. Pay attention. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدَعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا. Indeed, those who you are calling unto besides Allah cannot even create a fly. The idols. The idols cannot even create a fly. Or anything that anybody is calling unto. Whether they're worshipping trees, or the moon, or the stars, they cannot even create a fly. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ, even if they all had to come together, everyone in the world, everyone in existence had to come together, they wouldn't be able to create a fly. وَإِن يَسْلُبُهُمْ وَإِن يَسْلُبْهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُوهُ مِنْ. And if the fly had to take something away from them, like those kuffar Quraysh putting food by the idols, and then the fly comes and takes some of that food, even if it be microscopic, even if it be minuscule,
The idol cannot stop that fly. And the idol cannot retrieve that food from the fly. What is so amazing, and this is when we get to the science of the sign. Remember, this is a sign. Let's now look at the science thereof. What actually happens? Why is it impossible? Whether it be for an idol or for a human being, even if it be the greatest scientist on earth, even if it be the greatest army on earth. A fly, do you know how a fly eats? What a fly does is, I know you haven't had lunch yet, so I don't mean to spoil your appetite. You guys can still go to the lounge for lunch, inshallah. The fly vomits on his food. And there are enzymes in the vomit of the fly that dissolve the food. And the fly, he has something, it's called proboscis on his mouth. Proboscis. It's actually a straw. It's like a straw. On his food, the vomit dissolves the food, and then he sucks up the food through his proboscis, through his straw. So even if we had to catch the fly and dissect the fly, we wouldn't be able to retrieve that food which the fly had taken from us. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained in minute detail over 1400 years ago. إِيَسْلُبُهُمْ الذُّبَابُ If the fly had to take from them شَيْئًا something, لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُوهُ مِنْ They wouldn't be able to retrieve it. ضَعُفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ The seeker and the sought are weak. They are both weak in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can do nothing for ourselves, Jamaat al-Muslimin. And nobody can do anything for us. Except when those two letters come together. وَاسْتَرْزِقِ اللَّهَ مِمَّا فِي خَزَائِنِهِ فَإِنَّ رِزْقَكَ بَيْنَ الْكَافِ وَالنُّونِ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ We have to believe that with yaqeen. Nobody can give us something. Nobody can take something away from us. Except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can benefit us. Nobody can harm us. Except by the qada and qadr of Allah. As our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in his advice to Ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas, what did he say to him? Ya ghulam, u'allimuka kalimat. Oh my boy, let me teach you some words. Ihfadhi Allah yahfadhak. Look after the commands of Allah, Allah will look after you. احفظ الله تجد تجاهك. Look after the commandments of Allah, Allah will always be there for you. وإن سألت فاسأل الله. And if you ask, ask Allah. He's the only one that can give to you. وإن استعنت فاستعن بالله. And if you seek help from Allah. وعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت أن ينفعك بشيء لم ينفعك بشيء إلا ما كتب الله لك وإن اجتمعوا أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك بشيء إلا ما كتب الله عليك رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف And know this, that if the whole world had to come together, all the nations of the world had to come together to benefit you with something, they wouldn't be able to benefit you with anything except that which Allah had written for you. And if the whole world had to come together to harm you with something, they wouldn't be able to harm you with anything except that which Allah had decreed for you. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. This is our aqeedah. This is our belief. And this is the solution to all our problems, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. That's verse number 73. ضعف الطالب والمطلوب. In fact, there's a beautiful story about how Abu Dharr al-Ghifari from Bani Ghifar, how he embraced Islam. Abu Dharr, the great Sahabi. You know what he did? He was worshipping his idol. This is now in Jahiliyyah, before he embraced Islam. He was worshipping his idol and then he went away. And when he came back, he saw that his idol was wet. And there was some liquid dripping off his idol. And then he looked and he saw that there were two foxes. And he realized that the foxes had urinated on his idol. You know, the Arabs, they were masters of many things, but mainly of two things. What we call animal husbandry, in other words, producing the best stock of, whether it be horses or camels or sheep or goats. And the art of poetry. They could make poetry at the drop of a hat. So Abu Dhar al-Ghifari, he looked at this and he said, أَرَبٌّ يَبُولُ الثَّعْلَبَانُ بِرَأْسِهِ لَقَدْ ذَلَّ مَنْ بَالَتْ عَلَيْهِ ثَعَالِبُ فَلَوْ كَانَ رَبًّا كَانَ يَمْنَعُ نَفْسَهُ فَلَا خَيْرَ فِي رَبٍّ نَعَتْهُ الْمَطَالِبُ بَرِئْتُ مِنَ الْأَصْنَامِ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلِّهَا وَآمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ الَّذِي هُوَ غَالِبُ. He said, a god on which the foxes have urinated, indeed humiliated is he on whom the foxes have urinated. If he had been a god, he would have protected himself. There's no use in a god. Na'atul matalibu, na'a means to be distanced from or aloof from. Al-matalib, the goals. In other words, there's no use in a god who cannot achieve any goals for himself or for anyone for that matter. Then he said, بَرِئْتُ مِنَ الْأَصْنَامِ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلِّهَا. I free myself from all the idols of this world. وَآمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ الَّذِي هُوَ غَالِبُ. And I believe in Allah. He is the overcomer, the victorious, the compeller, جَلَّ فِي عُلَى. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ. Look at that. Simple man in the desert over 1400 years ago. You see, we've got too many distractions. Too many distractions. You know, I need to give a... For those of you who are trying to get hold of me on WhatsApp, I need to give you a talk, firstly to myself and then to all of you. Life after WhatsApp. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Amazing. Liberating. But inshallah, we'll leave that for another time. So that's number, verse number 73 of Surah Al-Hajj. Go look it up. The story of the fly. ضعف الطالب والمطلوب. The seeker and the sought, they're both weak in the eyes of Allah. They can do nothing except by that which Allah decrees. Verse number 74, مَا قَدْرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِي. They didn't give Allah due measure. They didn't give Allah due measure. They didn't give Allah that which is due to Him. In terms of who He is, جَلَّ فِي عُلَى. Then he ends by saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. Indeed Allah, He is لَقَوِيٌّ. What is quwwa? He is the all-powerful. Aziz, the almighty. The all-powerful, the almighty. If you need something, are you going to go to the weak? The frail? The incompetent? You're going to go to the one who has the control, the one who has the power, the one who has the might. And there is only one who has that, and that is Allah. So that's our first verse with that phrase. مَا قَدْرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِي. They didn't give a due measure. The second verse is a verse from Surah Az-Zumar. Surah Az-Zumar. Verse number 66, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلِ اللَّهَ فَعْبُدْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about those who associate partners in the worship of Allah, that all their actions will be worthless. And then he says in verse number 66, بَلِ اللَّهَ فَعْبُدْ. Nay, Allah you must worship. وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. And be of the grateful servants. Be grateful to Allah. For He is the one that has created the universe and given everything life. So how can you worship? عَاشُوا فِي خَيْرِ وَعَبَدُوا غَيْرِي. That's what's going to be said to the kuffar on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. عَاشُوا, or about them. عَاشُوا فِي خَيْرِ وَعَبَدُوا غَيْرِي. They lived in my goodness, but they worshipped others than me. That is the height of ingratitude. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 67, Surah Az-Zumar, وَمَا قَدْرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِي. They didn't give Allah due measure. They didn't appraise Allah a true appraisal. وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And the whole earth will be in His grip on the day of judgment. وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَاتٌ. And the heavens, The seven heavens will be folded up biyamini in his right hand. Now we attribute to Allah what he attributes to himself without likening it to anyone or anything. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a blanket statement, laysa kamithlihi shay'un wa huwa as-sami'ul basir. Nothing can be likened unto him, and he is all hearing and all seeing. But what are we speaking about here? The earth with all of its mountains and its oceans and its radius and diameter and circumference, its weight, the speed with which it is moving, 1,200 kilometers on its 23 degree axis, 104,000 kilometers around the sun, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will take a hold of this earth on the day of judgment. And the heavens, the seven heavens, according to some ulama, if we speak about the universe in which there are masabih, وَزَيَّنَّا سَمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيح, that we have adorned the heaven of this earth with lights. Meaning, it's only speaking about the first heaven. That the universe that we know, of which the observable universe is but a mere speck, this is the first sama. There are still six samas that we don't know where they are, how they exist. And yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he speaks about these samawat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that the kursi, and we must be careful of oversimplification. I mean, just to translate the kursi as the chair, or the throne, for the arsh, this is oversimplification. The kursi as the container, yes. وَسِعَ كُرْسِي